Hello, and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
Knock, knock.
Jean?
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Which?
Which who?
Which topic are we talking about today?
Oh, I see. Okay, collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are talking about Halloween, and I guess that's where she was getting that witch.
But it is a different witch if you're a grammar fanatic.
If you guys are done, let me tell our audience out here that Halloween should be a fun and safe holiday for everyone to enjoy.
That's right, and accessibility can play a role here. For children and adults who use wheelchairs or other assistive devices, door-to-door trick-or-treating with stairs, dark sidewalks, or a lack of sidewalks may prove challenging.
Sure. Happily, there are many civic centers out there. There's museums, zoos, shopping malls, community centers, and other accessible locations, which all have accessible trick-or-treating events.
That's great. And keep in mind, not all children enjoy trick-or-treating.
That's true. That's absolutely true. I know we used to drag the kids. For those who are not comfortable wearing costumes or trick-or-treating, of course, that was when they were 17. They kind of got tired of us. There are many other fun ways to celebrate the holiday.
Absolutely. Families can paint or draw on pumpkins. You could rake leaves together. That's always a family favorite.
Unless you have allergies.
Drink apple cider. Hand out treats, to trick-or-treaters. Go out and pick apples or do some other fall-related activities.
However, for those living with a chronic illness, you may want to spread out your activities so you don't want to feel overtaxed by forcing everything into just one day.
Sure.
That's a good point, Ron. I was also thinking about the food part of the holiday. Candy equal cavities or nut allergies. It could equal nut allergies or excess consumption causing stomach upset, that type of thing. The American Dental Association recommends eating a well-balanced meal before going trick-or-treating, limiting holiday candy consumption. I never follow that advice, personally. Sticking with the non-sticky treats, and it's a good idea also to consider donating the majority of your candy stash. There's organizations that send candy overseas to U.S. troops abroad, and some dentists will accept extra candy in exchange for a brand new toothbrush.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah. Also, there are hospitals and police stations that will x-ray your candy in case you wanted to worry about that. Since there is still the fear that horrible people may taint treats with illegal drugs, needles, razor blades, and the like, even though that's supposedly a urban legend.
Well, very rarely happens, yeah.
Just to be safe, parents, they should also remind their young ghouls and goblins to wait till they get home before eating any candy.
Good point. The Food Allergy Research and Education Organization has established the Teal Pumpkin Project, teal like that blue color. Those offering non-food treats can let trick-or-treaters know by putting a teal pumpkin or other teal-colored decoration on their porch.
Wow, that's a great idea for children with nut and other food allergies.
Yeah. And before heading out to trick-or-treat, make sure that everyone in your group knows their home address and how to call 911 in case of emergency.
Good point. Everybody knows how to play games, but do they know how to operate that phone in an emergency? Older children should stay in groups, have an area map and agreed-upon route, at least one cell phone per person, and check in at designated times. They should also never enter a home to get a treat. They should know that. In addition, they should also know how to avoid areas that are under construction alleyways and high traffic areas, and cross streets at the light or crosswalk. And just as an aside, I actually saw some kid get hit by a car on a bike in the middle of the street. So he wasn't crossing at a crosswalk. He was crossing in the middle of the street. So cross at the corners.
And I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, he was okay, but it was bad to see.
Yeah, very scary. I've seen actually somebody get hit in a crosswalk, but that's a whole other story.
We don't say that. We're giving them safety advice. Cross at a crosswalk.
Cross at a crosswalk.
Even though
it's
you cross at a crosswalk.
Thing to do.
But even though you're crossing at a crosswalk,
make sure that
watch
the
for
driver
traffic.
Can see you.
Ladies, yes. Can we get back to text?
I'm sorry. Yes, okay. I'm sorry.
Well, I like the classic tip that you should only visit homes with a porch light on, or in Australia, only visit the houses for trick-or-treating with an orange balloon outside of their house. Those are the ones that have treats available.
So if the lights aren't on, nobody's home or there's no treats there?
Yeah, that's okay. my general rule of thumb.
Okay. Yep. And if you are expecting a trick-or-treater at your door, make sure that your walkways are clear and well-lit.
Well, you know, when I think about Halloween safety, my mind immediately goes to costume safety for the little kids.
Okay. I see where you're going with that, Ron. So like wearing a mask, which could sometimes limit somebody's field of view?
Absolutely. Because a mask can limit or block somebody's eyesight. You may want to choose to wear non-toxic makeup instead of wearing a mask. And remember to test makeup in advance to ensure that you're not allergic to it. And for safety's sake, please, the American Pediatric Society recommends wearing costumes which are bright and reflective. Make sure that shoes or other footwear that they fit well and the costumes are short enough to prevent tripping, entanglement, or a big one, contact with flame. You want to make sure that does not happen when you're trick-or-treating. And as an added precaution, look for costume, wigs, and accessories which are clearly labeled flame resistant.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. And when I think about Halloween, I think about allergies, of course, and specifically latex allergies. And there are so many latex masks and other things out there. So that makeup tip it's a great alternative. Thanks, Ron.
Right, right. And I know that in order to be seen at night, you could put those reflective strips on the costumes or on the bags or containers that the kids carry candy in. This makes them more visible to motorists, or my favorite, those little light up shoes.
Right. They're adorable.
I wish they made those in my size.
We'll have to see if we can find them. You have little tiny feet. They might have them in your size.
The FDA also warns that decorative contact lenses are dangerous and illegal without a prescription. Swords, sticks, lightsabers, which kids love, wands, and all other pointy costume accessories are potentially dangerous as well. They can be an unwanted distraction, they can cause someone to trip, or unfortunately, can also poke someone in the eye, which is going to hinder your Halloween experience.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And there are some safety tips that apply to anyone who will be driving on Halloween. Everyone needs to be more cautious when driving, especially on Halloween. It's important to keep in mind that trick-or-treaters have only one thing on their mind, getting to the next house as quickly as possible.
That's true.
And increasing their candy hoard. Also, if there was ever a time to clean your vehicle windows and make sure that your headlights are on and working, this is the day for that. You want to have have the best possible visibility to make sure that you can spot any children out there. And
yeah, you're right. So the drivers need to be really aware.
Right.
Absolutely. The National Safety Council offers additional safety tips for parents and anyone else who plans to be on the road during trick-or-treat hours. Please watch for children walking on roadways, medians, and curbs. Enter and exit driveways and alleys carefully at twilight and later in the evening. Please watch for children in dark clothing. Discourage new, inexperienced drivers from driving on Halloween. And as obvious as it may sound, it bears repeating, please do not text and drive.
Yeah, Can't focus on both. You got to just focus on the driving. It's sad to note that twice as many children, pedestrians are killed while walking on Halloween compared to any other day of the year. Wow. And about more than 70% of accidents occur away from an intersection or crosswalk. So, you know, this makes me think that the place to be really vigilant if you're driving is in the middle of the block when a child might dart out between vehicles. And if you drive extra cautious on side streets, you'll definitely be one step ahead of the safety curve.
I wonder if there should be like a special news thing. Well, not news, but, you know, one of those safety bulletins that they put out on the radio every so often, the day of Halloween, you know, just to remind people. Right. I mean, we're reminding people on the podcast, but, you know, how many?
In high schools, I think they should tell new drivers at high schools.
Oh, that's a good one.
Halloween should be the walk to school day for high school drivers or young or new inexperienced drivers.
Walk in your costume.
Yeah, walk in your costume. Okay. I don't know if high schoolers do that, but okay.
And October is Fire Safety Awareness Month and all. So.
Right, and keeping that in mind, you want to make sure that you keep decorations as far away as possible from open flames and other heat sources, for example, light bulbs and heaters, and instead use battery-operated candles, flashlights, or glow sticks in place of those open flames. And after all, almost half of holiday decor fires in homes occur because the decorations were too close to a heat source.
Okay. And we can't leave out our furry family members.
We're talking about our werewolves, right?
No, I was talking about pets.
Oh, same thing.
Okay. Not all pets want to dress up for Halloween. You know, you may think it's really cute, but whenever possible, skip the pet costumes. I mean, maybe for just a photo shoot, you know. But it's also important to keep candy and decorations out of the pet's reach. If a pet ingests candy, contact a vet. So that's kind of like a word. If a pet ingests candy, contact a vet right away. Many pets get loose on Halloween also. Maybe they sneak out when the door is open because they're answering the door. Ensure that your pet has an ID collar, a microchip implanted. Prevent pets from approaching trick-or-treaters. And as Ron said at the beginning, this should be a safe and fun holiday for everyone, including werewolves.
Or pets, yeah. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo.
Boo. Boo.
Oh, you guys don't cry. We'll be back next week with another episode.
Okay, so I guess that wraps it up. If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact Gene.
Only if you have candy to donate.
At podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. And as always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Till next week.
Happy Halloween.
Yes. Happy Halloween.